This podcast was brought to you by Optus Stadium, now taking orders for your next breakfast or lunch meeting.
Good afternoon and welcome to At Close of Business, a daily podcast hosted by Business News.
The past 12 months have been a good period for fund managers focused on Australian shares, with the ASX All Ordinaries Accumulation Index up about 30%. On today's episode of At Close of Business, here's Senior Editor Mark Beyer discuss Perth equity fund managers and how they are having to look harder for value after generating very strong returns over the past year.
But first, here's the news you need to know today.
An FMG Cloudbreak worker is suspected to have been infectious with COVID-19 while in the community, but the state government is yet to impose any lockdown. The worker is believed to have been at the airport on July 20 at the same time as a Queensland traveller who tested positive for the virus, but the state government is yet to confirm a correlation between the two cases. The worker was at the Cloudbreak iron ore mine until July 27. During an emergency press conference this afternoon, Premier Mark McGowan said the fly-in fly-out worker returned a weak COVID positive result and then a negative test result. The worker had also tested positive to COVID-19 in March and April last year. It's believed he could have been infectious at some point while in the community. It is understood the worker's partner has tested negative for the virus. A list of potential exposure sites has been published this afternoon, including Fremantle Hospital, the Subiaco Hotel, the Indian Ocean Hotel, the Old Faithful Hotel in Fremantle, and Terminals 3 and 4 at the Perth Domestic Airport. In a statement released this afternoon, FMG said the fly-in fly-out maintenance contractor was asymptomatic while on site and was currently in isolation, awaiting the outcome of further testing. And in other news, Woodside Petroleum's Scarborough Gas Project will now cost $12 billion, about $600 million more than expected, after the company sharpened its plans. The Perth-based oil and gas producer is hoping to make a final investment decision on the project by the end of the year. The project will include an offshore development of the Scarborough gas fields and a new liquefaction train at the existing Pluto LNG plant. Woodside had previously announced it would review project design and costs. About $5.7 billion will be spent on the offshore component of the project, with $6.3 billion to be spent onshore. The offshore cost rose by about 8% compared to initial estimates, as Woodside increased capacity from a planned 6.5 million tonnes per annum to 8 million tonnes per annum. The onshore cost also increased by about 3%, with a need to modify the existing Pluto LNG train to process Scarborough gas. And marine technology manufacturer Veem is expected to post a 34% jump in revenue in the past 12 months to nearly $60 million. Veem, which is based in Canning Vale, also expects to report a 36% increase in underlying earnings to $10.2 million and a 97% leap in net profit to $4.9 million. Veem is due to announce its audited full-year results before the end of August. Shares in Veem closed up 2.5% today to trade at $1.25. And Perth Airport Chief Executive Kevin Brown says he's not precious about losing the federal government's purpose-built quarantine facility to Jandakot, as long as the project is expedited. On Friday, the federal government confirmed it had chosen a 40-hectare site at Jandakot to build a 1,000-bed facility, ending a month-long land assessment process which spanned multiple sites across Perth and Jandakot airports. The federal government had written to the state government proposing the construction of the facility back in May, with the state government having agreed to participate in the process. While speaking at an Urban Development Institute of Australia WA event at Crown this morning, Mr. Brown said he was just glad to see the facility being built in Perth, having raised concerns during initial talks about the facility being built in Busselton or Exmouth. But he said a temporary facility needed to be established as soon as possible to drive economic development, referencing the catastrophic impact the pandemic had had on Perth Airport. Mr. Brown warned that the ACE card WA had didn't hold any value if other countries were vaccinated and reopening to international travellers. During a press conference at the weekend, Federal Finance Minister Simon Birman Birmingham said Jandakot was chosen after careful consideration of noise management, environmental issues, and the speed with which it could get approvals necessary to build the facility at both of the sites. Ultimately, it was decided that Perth Airport was too busy and that noise protection and management could be more effectively managed at Jandakot than at Perth. It was also decided that there would be fewer environmental and land management issues to overcome at Jandakot. The federal government hopes the facility will be operational by early next year.
We'll be right back.
Those in the know Optus Stadium is the perfect place to host weddings, parties, anything. Whatever the size of your wedding, ball, graduation or sundowner, our award-winning Optus Stadium makes the perfect backdrop. Our space equals peace of mind. Our chefs equal world-class catering. Our service equals happy guests. Want to create lasting memories for your guests? Visit optusstadium.com.au to find out more.
It's time again for the annual Wealth Advisors feature, Mark. You've gone out into the market and you've spoken to some wealth advisors and you've gotten their impression of the past 12 months. Can you tell me what they have told you?
I've had a particular focus this year on Perth groups that managed share market investment funds. There's not a huge number of people in this space in Perth, but there's about half a dozen operators out there. And it was really interesting to talk to them. The 12 months to June 30 was a good period for the people investing in Australian shares. I mean, the benchmark, which is the All Ords Accumulation Index, that was up just above 30%. All the Perth-based fund managers beat the benchmark, so that's a big tick for them. But there were some quite spectacular returns. Top of the list, Argonaut. They returned to funds management about 2 years ago. So they're still a small player, but they've got some really nice numbers for their funds. Their Perseus fund up 71% for the year. So very nice if you can get that. WestAuz, they're one of the big players in the market. Their Ausgrowth investment company up 63% for the year. Merchant Funds Management, they're up about 46%. Precision Funds and Katana Asset Management, they also generated some good returns. So, a good year, but everyone acknowledged the coming year is more challenging.
Mm. And I won't ask you to look into the crystal ball and tell me what exactly will happen in the next year, but there's been some impressions that you've got again from some fund managers about that. Can you tell me what they see for the next 12 months?
There's a whole range of variables that people are looking at a global macro level. Inflation is expected to go up, but no one knows exactly how quickly or how much. Similarly, interest rates and yields on government bonds are expected to go up in tandem with that. There's always that level of political and trade uncertainty. And then the other big one that people are concerned about is the next wave of COVID, with the Delta variant out there. That then has a big impact economically. Obviously, we're seeing this in New South Wales at the moment, but look around the world. People are nervous about what might happen. So all of these things, throw them into the mix, and it's hard to be entirely confident about the outlook. One group in Perth, Willie Packer, his Packer & Co. out at Cottesloe, they famously, they focus on investing in global shares. They've achieved some sensational returns over the last sort of 15 or more years. They've become particularly bearish about global markets. Essentially, they've sold most of their shares and just putting their money into cash because they think the whole thing's about to come tumbling down. So some serious risks out there. But look, overall, most of the local fund managers have still got their money tied up in Australian shares. That's their thing. And looking for different opportunities about whether it's in stocks like battery metals, and commodities like nickel and lithium, etc., or whether it's more of a focus on some of the cyclical industries, which they see as benefiting from current conditions. It's fascinating to talk to them and get their different views.
It's fascinating to hear what uncertainty is impacting the equity fund managers, but what does it mean for mum and dad investors?
Look, to get a different slant on this, I've spoken to some people, I guess, with a financial planning hat on. And I guess there's a couple of things that they emphasise. One is, if you look back, you know, over a century, shares outperform other asset classes. In fact, the Australian share market since 1900, the average return per year, 11.8%. But it's very volatile. And that's the nature of, you know, that's the price you pay for higher returns is the risk that comes with it. So obviously within certain periods, you've had some really, really poor returns. But you know, that's what the long-term pattern is. And that's sort of the fundamental that a lot of people go back to. And then the other fundamental, you know, this is 101, but a lot of people forget it. What's your risk tolerance? How much money can you afford to lose? So when you balance your portfolio, some in cash, some in shares, some in government bonds, some in property, you know, how much tolerance for risk have you got? And if things do go pear-shaped, can you cope with it? So they're the sort of questions people need to ask.
It'll be interesting to read this feature again in the next 12 months and see how all this uncertainty plays out. Mark, thank you so much for your time today.
No worries.
We understand that business relies on being informed. That's why Business News is your most reliable source of news, industry insights, and business connections. To stay fully informed, we encourage you to subscribe to our emails, flick through our magazine, and visit businessnews.com.au for daily news updates. It's the best way to ensure you have the information you need to be future ready. Business News. More news, more insights, more connections.
This podcast was brought to you by Optus Stadium, now taking orders for your next breakfast or lunch meeting.
If you like what you've heard, head to our Spotify page to like and subscribe. New episodes of At Close of Business are available every day in time for our afternoon wrap. I'm Jordan Murray. See you tomorrow.